thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, speaking about Jesus. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Wonderful. People love to share their stories of how they met some celebrity or some famous person, and they didn't even recognize them at the time. They might have had a conversation with them, but they'd no idea who they were talking to. Maybe later they saw them on TV or something and thought, oh, I was talking to that person. I didn't actually know who it was. Maybe the famous person was quite happy to sort of go incognito, not be recognized by the person just trying to blend in. When Jesus Christ came into his world, the world that he had created, the people in his world didn't recognize who he was. He was God's son who had come from heaven. And although he was doing the most amazing things that nobody else was doing, like opening the eyes of blind people, making deaf people hear again, healing leprosy and all manner of diseases and sicknesses, even raising people from the dead, preaching and teaching with authority in a way that people had never heard, still, they didn't recognize who he really was. They didn't make the connection between all these things that Jesus was saying and what he was doing and who he was, the Son of God. You might wonder how on earth they could have missed it. How on earth did they not recognize him? How was it even possible for them not to recognize who he was because of the things he was doing that only the Messiah could do? We're going to look at three brief things this evening from these couple of verses. Firstly, there was a willful rejection. It wasn't simply that they didn't recognize him in the sense that we might not recognize a famous person if we met them on the street. But the meaning of the word here, that they didn't recognize him, is that there was a willful refusal to recognize him. They refused to believe and accept who he was. People didn't recognize Jesus because they didn't want to recognize Jesus. Well, you might say, well, why would anybody not want to recognize him, especially when he's doing the most incredible, amazing things that he's doing? The answer is quite simply this. If they would have acknowledged who Jesus really was, the Son of God who had come from heaven, they knew that they then would have to respond to who he was and what he was saying and doing. If you choose not to recognize somebody's authority and their position, you can easily justify to yourself why you ignore the claims they have in your life. You think about some people. Some people maybe get a summons to court from whoever a summons, have never had one, so whoever it comes from, they get one. But they don't recognize the authority of the court, or they don't recognize the authority of the government, and they just rip it up, throw it in the bin and say, I don't recognize that. But sooner or later, the law catches up with them. Sooner or later, the arrest warrant goes out for them, and they have to face the justice. So some people choose willfully not to recognize Jesus, not because they don't know who he is, but because they don't want to know who he is. They don't want to accept who he is because of the claims Jesus makes on their life. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he came into the world, and he showed us what God is like through his preaching, his teaching, his actions, and in particular, through his death on the cross. He shows us this is what God is like. He loves. It's a God of love. He loves sinners. He loves this sinful world. And I have come to show you that God loves you. Jesus didn't just die to give us one option among many for how we might come to God or approach God or be accepted by God. His death is the only way that any of us can come to God. And because God sent his Son, who came with God's authority to do that work of God on our behalf, as Paul says, God now commands all people everywhere to repent. God commands that. But they didn't recognize Jesus because people did not want to repent. People didn't want to repent and believe because they wanted to live their own way. They didn't want to turn from their sinful lives because they loved their sinful lives. 2,000 years later, has anything changed? Has anything changed since Jesus walked on this earth? One thing hasn't changed. God still commands all people everywhere to repent. That hasn't changed. But everywhere, most people are still choosing, willfully choosing to reject Jesus Christ. Not because they don't know who he is, not because they don't know what he did, because they are willfully refusing to acknowledge or recognize him, because they don't want to recognize him. They want to live their own way. How about you? How about you? Do you recognize him? Do you recognize him? Or are you one of these people that John talks about? You don't recognize him because you don't want to recognize him. You don't want to change. You want to keep living in your sin. You want to follow your own way. So you're willfully choosing not to recognize him. He calls you to repent. He calls you to follow him. He calls you to take up your cross and follow. Are you willfully refusing? And then there were others, and they were blind and unable to recognize him. It says there, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, had been specially chosen and actually created by God out of all the peoples in the world to be his treasured possession. Deuteronomy 26:18 tells us that, other verses too. What a privilege. What a position of incredible privilege to be chosen by God, to belong to God, to be loved by God, to be guided by God, to be protected by God. And then when God came into the world in the person of his Son to bring deliverance to his people, to save his people from their sins, they did not receive him. They didn't welcome him. Now, this rejection of God's Son Jesus is not a kind of passive rejection, like just ignoring him. No, they were openly hostile to him. They actively rejected him, particularly the religious leaders. They're the ones who had the knowledge. They should have been welcoming him with open arms. And yet many of them, what were they doing? They were plotting to kill him. He made them angry. Now, of course, it was impossible for the Jews just to ignore Jesus or not to have an opinion about Jesus, because he was claiming to be from God. And he was saying, my teaching shows you what God is like. His actions were showing what God was like. But a lot of what Jesus was saying and doing was turning traditional Jewish teaching and practice on its head. He was reinterpreting many of the scriptures and how they understood them, and it was making them mad. They couldn't ignore Jesus. He had spiritual power. People were flocking to him. It was clear to be seen by everyone that this man had something. But Jesus was demanding a response or even a reaction. And Jesus didn't fit into their idea of what God would be like on earth, what God's deliverer would be like. And they were the most blessed of people. Well, this evening, I'm very aware there's probably no Jews in here. We're not Jews. When I was thinking this through, I was thinking about people who have grown up in families who love the Lord. In a sense, you have been blessed beyond measure. Like the Jewish people were blessed. Blessed beyond measure. You've grown up in families and homes that have known the scriptures. I tell you, that is a privilege and a blessing, because there are many who don't know and have never heard. You've grown up. But are you choosing to ignore Jesus? Are you hostile to him? Do you actually wish you didn't know anything about him? Do you wish that you didn't understand anything about him? Because you do know about him, and you know the claims that he makes in your life. We read these words, you think, I don't understand. How could the Jewish nation have rejected Jesus? How could they not recognize him? Tell you what, friends, do you know what it shows us? Complete spiritual blindness. Complete spiritual blindness. And it shows how utterly alienated from God we really are. They were the most blessed people on the face of the earth. They had the scriptures and they didn't recognize the Son of God when he came. Why? Because Paul tells us we are dead in our transgressions and our sins. We are blinded by sin. That's why they didn't recognize him. He came, he was the light. But the people showed, the Jews showed, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You think if you're stumbling along a dark road, you see the light of home, that you're wanting to get there. But no, they rejected the light. The Bible says that we do love darkness rather than light. To come into the light is to have your sins exposed. To come into the light is to have all the evil that's in our hearts exposed to the light of God. That's what Jesus does. He exposes it to cleanse it. That's what he does. Light and darkness, they can't coexist. When the light comes into the darkness, it always dispels the darkness. And Jesus wants to come into your life and he wants to dispel the darkness. I love those verses that talk about how he comes in and he removes us from the dominion of darkness and he brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He takes us out of the darkness and he brings us into the light. Wonderful. We are in a different situation now, obviously, from 2,000 years ago. But the situation hasn't changed because so many are still rejecting Jesus. As we approach another Christmas season very soon, we will be aware again that many people want a sprinkling of the baby Jesus and the manger and the stable and the shepherds and the wise men with all the other festivities. They want a sprinkling of Jesus. The kind of Jesus you can tidy away in a box and stick it into the attic at the end of the festivities. But they don't want the real Jesus who said, you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. They don't want the real Jesus who says, it costs everything to follow me. They don't want the Jesus who says, I am coming again. I'm coming again. And if you're not ready for my coming, you will be cast out into the outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. This is Jesus. This is the real Jesus. We don't like that Jesus. The world doesn't like that Jesus. It wants a fairy tale Jesus. It doesn't want a Jesus that disturbs our thoughts. Is that you? Do you want fairy tale Jesus that you can conveniently box up and put away when the festivities are over? Because even though the people didn't want to recognize Jesus, they weren't able to recognize him because of their inherent blindness, spiritual blindness and deadness, hardness of heart. But our God is willing. He's willing, more than willing, to open the eyes of the blind. That is what Jesus loves to do. Open the eyes of the blind so that they can see him. That's what he continues to do. And finally this evening, we have the joy of receiving. To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God had a plan. When God sent his son into this world, God had a plan. His plan was to create for himself a new people. Paul calls it the Israel of God. A new people. A people who would accept that there is only one way to approach God, and that is through faith in the work of his son that he sent. Jesus didn't die on the cross as a wee add-on to his life, or just something that had to happen at the end of his life as a way of sort of getting him back to heaven or something. No, his whole life was focused on that one event, the cross. Because it is through his blood that we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It is through his death that we get spiritual life. And Jesus comes and he says, it's through faith in me. That's how you get to God. No more all these sacrificing animals and all this stuff. No, it's done away with. Because the Lamb of God has been sacrificed in our place. We trust in him, his grace and his love. John tells us there were some people and they recognized Jesus. They recognized this is the one that God has promised, the Lamb of God. He couldn't do these works if God wasn't with him. They didn't close their minds and their hearts towards him. They didn't willfully reject him. They weren't blind to him. Their eyes were open and their arms were open. And they still are. It's yours. It's your eyes and arms, heart open by faith to receive Jesus. To these people who believe in him, he gave the right or the authority to become children of God. Now, I know the vast majority of people in this room, you are a Christian, you believe this, and sometimes it can wash over us too easily. Stop and just think about this for a moment. Think about it. You, if you have believed in Jesus, are a child of God. That's amazing. We are born again, transformation of our heart and our life. Not another human birth, that's an impossibility, but a spiritual birth by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews are occasionally called children of God. Not a very common term for them, but sometimes they are. But they never call God Father, never. But for these new children, everything has changed. Listen to what John says in his first letter. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Hallelujah. The reason the world does not know us, or the reason the world does not recognize us, is that it did not know him. Didn't recognize him. That's why it doesn't recognize us. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Think about the transfiguration of Jesus. Peter, James, and John, up a mountain. Those three, the inner circle, up a mountain with Jesus. And Jesus is transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah appear, and they're having this talk with Jesus. And he's there, shining in his glory. And God is speaking out of heaven about his beloved Son. And they see his glory. Why? They see the glorified Jesus. Friends, Jesus is now seated at this moment at the right hand of God the Father. And he is there in his glory. He is not there. Well, he is there still as a human and as God. He is still there, and he has that human person and God still. But he's there and he's glorified, and his brightness and his greatness. And when he comes through the clouds of heaven, he is going to come in all his glory. Can you even imagine what that's going to be like? When they come, we're coming down the mountain after the transfiguration. Jesus told the three disciples not to be telling anybody about it until after his resurrection, that they weren't to be talking about it. It was so amazing. When he appears in his glory, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At this point, the world doesn't know us, doesn't recognize us. We just look the same as everybody else. You know, we just go through our lives. Well, some people do have a kind of heavenly glow, it has to be admitted, and you just know they're believers, but not everybody has. But we just go through life, and we're ordinary, and we're sinful, and we're discouraged some days, and other days we make so many mistakes. Well, we'll call them sins, because that's what they are. And we're so weak and so frail in many respects. But that's not the end of the story, because we're children of God. And when he appears, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. Hallelujah. Friends, what a privilege. We can say with total confidence, I am a child of God. That's who I am. I nearly feel it bursting into a wee song there. It's who I am. Absolute security as well. I want to read this verse from John 10:28. Here's what Jesus said. I give them, that's those who believe and receive him, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Underline never in your Bible if you struggle with assurance. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Friends, do you have this confidence and security and assurance? if you have recognized Jesus for who he is and received him, if you're fully trusting in him, then this is for you. This evening, this can be your experience. It's the Holy Spirit opening your eyes. You know all about him. I know, I look around this room, scan around. Everybody in this room knows about Jesus. Do you recognize him? It's very different. Do you recognize who he is? The Son of God. Died for you. God says, I'm commanding you to repent and to believe in my Son. People heard that. People heard that message. Some still willfully rejected because they didn't want to recognize. They didn't want it because they wanted to live their own lives. Others were stuck in spiritual blindness. They'd hardened their hearts. Praise God, there were others who said, I recognize him. I recognize him. Jesus, I believe in you. Do you believe in him tonight? Will you believe in him tonight? His arms are outstretched waiting for you. Run to him. Run to him. Know of an absolute certainty tonight that you are a child of God and it hasn't yet appeared what you shall be, but when he appears, you will be like him, for you'll see him as he is. Let's pray. Lord, this challenges all of our hearts to recognize you every day. Your authority in our lives, that you are the Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you, that this night they will receive you. Come to you in faith, believing in you. I thank you tonight that you never, ever turn away anyone who comes to you. Pray for any tonight who might be struggling with assurance or confidence, wondering if they really are your child, and yet they have called out to you for salvation. I pray tonight, Lord, you would remind them of your word, that you have given them eternal life, and you will never allow them to perish. You will never let them go, Lord, and no one will be able to snatch you from them from your hand. And I pray for all those tonight who are true believers walking with you. I pray, Lord, that the hope of being like you would drive us forward. Lord, the hope that's in our hearts would give us strength to overcome every trial and every difficulty, every doubt that we may have. And Lord, that our love for you would override everything else in our lives, that we would live for the honour and glory your wonderful. Your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.